don't know if you're like me, but my young years, my elementary age years were very formative in my life. For me, those years were spent on the north side of town in a small village called Wolverine Lake, which is right next to the slightly larger village of Walled Lake, which is right by Novi. And we had a great childhood growing up for those years that we spent out in the lakes area. For us, living where we did, we traveled a lot. We would go by car to do a number of different things. We would travel to church regularly and spend time in the car going to a church in Wixom and then in Union Lake area. We'd travel by car to a grandma and grandpa's house and help them regularly in Southfield. And even traveled for 5 years living out there to a Christian school, first at, shall I say, at Southfield Christian, and then coming here to Intercity Christian School. We spent a long time in our car. And growing up with a mother who took Deuteronomy 6, that passage 4 and following, especially 6, 7, seriously, the car became our discipleship classroom. We're reminded in Deuteronomy 6 to teach our children when you walk in the way. Our walking in the way was riding around the lake and spent many, many hours in a car and was taught many things as a child. We would have family devotions often in the car on our way back and forth to school. And I'll never forget one day my mom wanted to press home the idea about prayer and the access that we have to God in prayer. And she said, as we would grow up, we spent a lot of time swimming in a lake and riding our bikes, and my brother had a motorcycle through the trails and all those fields back there before all the houses were built. And my mother one time was teaching us the truth of prayer and illustrated the fact that she said, imagine pushing your motorcycle to Grandma and Grandpa's house because you think you ran out of gas, only to find that after, and this was before you could call somebody to bring gas, right, before cell phones, you push it all the way to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and as you push it in the driveway, after all those miles of pushing, you realize all you needed to do was flip the switch. You failed to flip the switch, and you could have rode that bike there. And that's been 45 years ago that that was pressed on me. And I don't think there's a month that goes by that I don't think about the fact that we have a tremendous access to God in prayer, and sometimes we don't use it because we fail to simply flip the switch. And I wonder one day when we stand before Christ, if he'll say to us, why didn't you ask for more? I was ready to help, and you simply didn't ask. And I read a verse in James that says in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. And that lesson all those years later still rings in my mind as I think about that, that we have a tremendous access with God at his throne of grace, that all we need to do is ask for grace to help in time of need. Well, I say all of these things to you tonight because I want us to not miss the opportunity that we have of a tremendous access paid for by, as Jacob mentioned this morning, the finished work of Christ that we have, that we can access tonight because if we know Christ, he has provided for us. Simply put, I want us to cultivate the incredible access to God's throne in helping us to cultivate gospel-advancing prayer partnerships in our church family. That we would cultivate, really, gospel-advancing prayer partnerships in our church family in light of the opportunity that is in front of us today. And particularly, we think about next Sunday night when in this room, in God's will, there will be a number of folks gathered here who don't know Christ. And we want to seize it as an opportunity to advance the gospel in our community, with our family, with our friends, with those that we know and love. So tonight, for a few minutes, I would like us to consider a passage that helps to guide and direct us that we might together cultivate gospel-advancing prayer partnerships in our church family. So let's turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 4. God has given us a day in which we can live and use the opportunity He gives us to advance the gospel. And I don't want us to miss the opportunity. Don't want us to miss the opportunity that God's given to us. So let's read together Colossians chapter 4, and I'm going to zero in on verses 2 through 6. And you read silently as I read out loud Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." Colossians 4, 5 says that we must really make the most of the opportunity that God has given to us. And that's what I want us to, what I want to encourage you with tonight, that we would make the most of the opportunity this Christmas season that God gives to us. We live in a time, it seems historic and unique, and you might remember, I doubt that you will, but you might remember that I preached about 2 months ago. And in that message, as I introduced that, I told you that this time has just been such a time of consternation for me. You know, in my heart, in my mind, in my life, you want to say so much, and yet you say, oh, that won't help the gospel, and so you keep your mouth shut, and yet you want to speak up as somebody who's a good citizen, and just so much is happening that I have been encouraged by the book of 1 Thessalonians, and I shared with you that chapter 5 has been a special help to me, as in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ." That passage has helped me to understand that even the day in which we live, that maybe we don't like and we don't want, is God's will for us. And God intends it for good. For good, those who know Christ. And, Jacob reminded us this morning, even from Genesis 50, that was what Joseph was centered on. The fact that in everything he could give thanks because God intended it for good. And as we consider the day in which we live, it's easy, going to be easy for us to grumble and complain and you know you're an old guy when you've seen them build the Silver Dome and then tear it down, right? Or you saw them build Joe Louis Arena and then they tore it down. You know you're officially old when you start to say, yeah, the good old days, you know, back in the 80s when we could do these things. And yet it's going to be easy for us living in the day and times in which we live with so much happening that we would miss the opportunities that God has given us to share the hope that we have in Christ, the ways in which God intends the evil of the day for good for those that He knows and He loves. But again, we consider Colossians 4, 2 through 6, and we ask the question then, how can we as believers seize the God-given opportunities to advance the gospel? How can we, by God's grace, advance the gospel? What is the answer to this question based on these five verses? And I believe part of that answer is that we can seize God-given opportunities to advance the gospel by cultivating gospel-advancing prayer partnerships in our church family. We can pray together for God to use us to advance the gospel. Is that amazing that God can use us? But He can, and He will, and He wants to use us to advance the gospel. Now, don't miss this. We're going to zoom in tonight on how we can, in this passage, use it in light of our Christmas concert next week, and the opportunities before us in this Christmas season. But don't miss the bigger picture. In this passage, there is much that God is teaching us about how we as Christians ought to live privately and publicly. Pastor has preached in reference to this passage a number of times. I'll just give you one sermon in particular. You go to sermon audio, and Pastor preached on this passage in September 22nd, 2013 would be a good one, that he just really explains this passage in light of the big picture. But simply put, tonight, as we consider what's the big picture, is that we must devote ourselves to private prayer and to be a public godly witness for Christ. Right? That's the context, how we glorify God and do that. We must pray personally. And again, look at Colossians 4, what things describe our personal prayer in Colossians 4. Verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. So we pray persistently, we pray attentively with keeping alert in it, and we pray thankfully. We are keeping an attitude of thanksgiving. So if we're to access the amazing provision of God, we must do it personally in our own prayer life. We must do it in a way that is godly in how we live. The second half of the passage, again, in the verses, particularly in verses 5 and 6, talk about how we live publicly. We must live a godly life and speak wisely if we're to become an effective means of gospel grace. Okay? So that's the bigger picture, but I just want to emphasize three things in the few minutes that we have together tonight in this passage about gospel advancing prayer partnerships in our local church. And we consider these things in the passage. Number one, I want you to see the power of prayer and witnessing. The power of prayer and witnessing. What is it that we do? Again, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Verse 3, praying at the same time for us. So he's talking about prayer, and he's talking about how we can do it together. And the power of God in prayer and witnessing. What are we asking God to do in relation to those that we know and we love who don't know Christ? They're not trusting Christ today. What's our prayer? Our prayer is, God, as he did for Lydia in Acts 16, open their heart. Who can do that? Only God can. And so we pray, we beg, we beseech God that he would do what we cannot do. God, open their heart, their minds are blinded. They're trusting in a God of their own making. And there's power in prayer in our witnessing. We're asking God to do what he can only do. What else are we asking God to do in this passage? We're saying, God, not only open their heart, but open what? What's the passage? Open what? Open the, are you with me? Open the door. A door of opportunity. God, open the door. Give me opportunity. Are you praying for people right now? Are there people you just want to know and serve Christ that are lost? You know, I was talking to the Dively's. We have a shared friend that needs the Lord. And nice guy, but he needs the Lord. And in our prayer, we talk back and forth, God, give us an opportunity. Just this week, God just happened to put me across his path at the right time. And we were just talking last night, God, would you open the door? And God, he just, in his providence, put us together. And so what did we do? Try to walk through that door. Do you pray for opportunities to share the hope that you have in Christ? Who can do that? God can do that. Okay. Yeah, sometimes you're like, what do I say? What do I do? God, give me the opportunity. Open the door. And we can ask him to do that. There's power in that. How many of us have seen God do that for folks that we know and love? There's power in prayer, in our witnessing, and only God can do those things. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, pray that God would open the door. There's power in that. Notice as well the perspective, the power of perspective as we pray in our witnessing. What's interesting to me, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Do you remember last Sunday night's sermon? Did you take notes at all? Pastor reminded us last week. What's so wrong with not being thankful? That was last Sunday night's sermon. What is so wrong with not being thankful? If somebody asked you that, what would you say? Well, he gave us three things. I'm sure you remember them vividly, right? He says the problem with not being thankful is it really gets our perspective wrong, because when we're not thankful, we're not really seeing life the way it really is, and that God's given us everything good and perfect comes from God. And when we're not thankful, we're thinking of ourselves. Talked about clouding the gospel and these sorts of things. As you live your life in an attitude of prayer this week with thanksgiving, what does that help you remember? That everything good in my life is from God. Okay, it keeps you centered. If you're going to be thankful as you pray every day, personally, and as you pray with others, what are you going to have to be tuned into? What am I thankful for? What is God doing? What hope do I have? I mean, that was one of the blessings of this morning's sermon, is the fact that we can have hope even when life is tough. Okay? I didn't have the courage that I hoped I would. Here's what I was going to do tonight. I was going to say, give me, live, in person, give me some things that are hard, the hardest things that you could face in your life, and how can we be thankful for that? Yeah, I was going to ask you to give me those. I'm not asking you. All right. But think about what's the hardest thing you could face. I mean, Jacob again led us in prayer for some of these hard things, right? I mean, here's a young mom who has cancer, and they say it just doesn't look like it's going to work out. And Jacob mentioned that there's always hope with God, that God could do that. But what if God doesn't answer that prayer? Can there be thanks in that? Well, we can give thanks because there's hope. There's hope in Christ. And as the folks that we mentioned this evening took their last breath here on earth, what was their very next breath? In the presence of God. And God walked them straight to heaven. Okay, our best days are still in front of us. And again, I don't know what you face. It may be that, you know, it's a financial crisis, a relationship issue, it may be a health issue, but in all these things, we can give thanks because it reminds us that God is our portion that can never be taken away. It gives us an opportunity for even a greater capacity to glorify God and honor Him. And again, you got to kind of work through that in your own life. But I just challenge you that in everything you face this week, we can give thanks in it for the provision of God's grace and what He promises. And again, that's that perspective that we have to have. You say, Tracy, well, how does that tie in? Well, it tied in to me before in 1 Thessalonians 5 when it says, rejoice always, give thanks, and everything give thanks for. This is the will of God in Christ for you. So I can give thanks in those things. And if I give thanks in those things, that is a tremendous treasure in my life that I have because of the finished work of Christ. What's that like to have hope? Again, Romans 5 says we exalt then in tribulations. But think about everybody who lives on Hanford right here. How many of them know Christ? How many of them have that hope in their life? How many? 10%? I don't know. Okay? Not many. I know some. I don't know everybody. But there's not a lot who are trusting Christ alone on hand for. And I've got something that is a tremendous treasure that I can exalt in. And who gives me the opportunity to share that hope with them? God does. He made me His ambassador, Christ's ambassador. If I really enjoy that perspective, the hope in that, what do I want to do with that? I ought to want to share it. I mean, this morning we sang the song, Have You Heard? So, I mean, obviously this passage is in my mind as we're doing everything we're doing today. And he said, and the song says, have you heard about Jesus? He came and all He did in Christ. And when we die, He'll shout what? Welcome, welcome home. Welcome in. This is the greatest thing that we can have. And what do we do with that? We hold it, hide it, put it under a bushel. And God gives us the opportunity to share the greatest hope that anybody could have with everybody who lives around us. That ought to motivate us. That's the power of perspective. It ought to motivate us to share this hope with everybody. Because what's the person on Hanford doing trying to find sense in this life? What are they doing to find sense in this life if they don't know Christ? They're looking for it. Where are they looking for it in? All the wrong places. And by the way, does it satisfy? What did Jesus say to the woman at the well? You're going to come, get this water, and what are you going to have to do tomorrow? Come back again. But the water I give you will truly satisfy. And God gives us that. Do you know that God gives us that opportunity to share the hope we have in Christ with those who don't? And this passage reminds us of that perspective, that we're praying at all times. With what? With an attitude of thanksgiving. Why? Because we know we have hope, because God has designed everything that happens in my life for good. And if somebody will come to trust Christ alone for their salvation, they can have the same hope. That ought to motivate you to share Christ with everybody that you know. There's power in prayer because God can open a heart. There's power in prayer because God can, in his providence, take us across paths. And you never know what God's doing in somebody's heart. You never know. But maybe the word that you would share with them or the testimony you would give them would just be that thing at that moment that God would use to bring them to Christ by his Spirit. There's power in our prayer. There's power in our perspective as we pray. And I challenge you that there's power in partnership in our witnessing. Again, Colossians 4 says that we're personally and privately devote ourselves to prayer. And then verse 3 says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. Prayer is hard work, isn't it? Is prayer hard work? Yeah, it's very hard. It's one of those spiritual disciplines that we have to work hard. I've got to work hard to cultivate. It's easy to do things that people see you doing, but your prayer closet is one of the spiritual disciplines that you and I have to cultivate. Prayer is hard work. What is another discipline that's hard work? Witnessing. Okay, sharing Christ. It's the greatest news ever that we could have, and yet, because it's a spiritual battle, it's so often it's hard for us to, you know, get the words right out to share the hope that we have in Christ. What is it that God gives us as a grace to help us in these things? Well, it's the two words, with us. Pray with us. Pray with me. The prayer partnerships that we can have in the body of Christ among our church family. A week ago Friday, my cat decided to go out on his own. He somehow learned how to pull open the back door if we don't lock it all the way. And he opened the door. We came up from downstairs, and the door was open, and the cat was gone. Well, he'll come back, right? He didn't come back Friday night. It snowed Saturday night, and he was gone. So last Sunday night after church, we said, all right, we're going to appeal to the community. And got on Facebook and posted some pictures, and some of you responded with some of that. And probably 10:30 last Sunday night, it was calm outside, just a nice winter, pre-winter night. And I thought, well, we'll see. I looked over there, and it looked like the neighbor's garage was open a little bit. So I said, well, and I have a distinctive call. I've worked on this with my pets. You know, they get out, but they usually come home because I got a little call that I use. You know, I call, and a couple minutes later, you know, and he walks. Like he'd been out for 2 days on his own and just came strolling back to our house. What I learned in that, though, is that the cat does come back, and we can sing that song if you knew it. I learned that there's a whole community out there that when you lose your animal, man, they jump in with both feet. We put it out there, and it wasn't out there for more than just a little bit. And people were jumping in saying, I'm looking, I'm watching, and giving us advice. I mean, we learned about catnip and all sorts of stuff that will help bring a cat back. Part of me wasn't really wanting the cat back, if we're to be honest. But then again, you know, my kids were like, ah, all right, so we didn't want the cat back. I'm the one that brought him back, right, humanly speaking, Sunday night. But I learned there's a whole community out there that will help you, encourage you, you know, give you some tips and all those things. And I was thinking about this passage, and I thought, you know, we'll do all sorts of things for just crazy things, like a cat. Or I was at a conference a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I was out to the suburban collection for a manly kind of conference or a, I don't know what you call it, a conference, but a gathering, you know, rough manly stuff. And I thought, well, you know, this would be neat. There's hundreds of people gathered. The very next show area, there was a gathering of people who like knitting, right? And it was packed out too. And I thought, you know, there's all sorts of crazy communities for anything, you know, that you want to do. From all this to even to knitting. I mean, they were showing up with their big bags of knitting stuff. I don't know what it is, but they're big bags. Okay? And, you know, we'll go crazy about all these things. And yet, when it comes to the thing that really will make a difference for all of eternity, do we access the community of grace to see God do a work in people's lives? Again, Paul says, pray for us. Pray for us. Man, we can gather as a church family and pray for each other. You know, they just produced the next prayer booklet. And I was so pumped this morning. I'm walking through Sunday school. I'm seeing a lady with her book open, underlining, circling, highlighting names of people she can help others by praying for. And you know what? We need to access that together as a family, that we can pray with each other and for each other in our gospel endeavors. But I'm talking about even this week. A week from today, we just prayed. Jacob again prayed. How many times have I used Jacob's name? 5 times? All right. But he just prayed this evening. God, help pastor as he preaches to be clear when he speaks the gospel. You know next Sunday night, pastor is going to preach the gospel, don't you? Do you know that? How clear will it be? It'll be as clear as he can make it by God's grace. So if you have someone who needs to hear the gospel, what's an opportunity for you to do, to seize, to have them hear the gospel? What could you do? Invite them. Have them come. And the opportunity is that this time of year, for so many people, it is an opportunity. Now, understand, there's challenges. We all know there's challenges and some hesitancies and all these things. But invite them, because you know the gospel will be preached next week. And I don't want us to miss this opportunity. We can partner with others in the hard work of prayer and witnessing as these are put together. It is a grace that God has given to us for our help, that there would be other believers in our lives helping us reach those people that we know and love. Just consider for a second Colossians. How did folks in Colossians pray for each other? Did they pray for each other? Chapter 1, verse 3, Paul prayed for them. Okay, you can look at it. Paul says, since I've heard this, I am praying for you. I am praying for you. Epaphras in chapter 4, we're in chapter 4. Look down, if you will, in chapter 4 in Colossians. Look at verse 12. Epaphras, who was one of your number. He was part of the congregation. Okay, Epaphras, one of your number. A bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God. We can pray for each other's spiritual growth. That's what Epaphras was doing in this church. I mean, you can think about 3 John verse 2, where he says that he was praying for their their health. It's all right to pray for health. They pray that they would be healthy, that their outer man would be just as their inner man is, strong and growing and robust. So there's power in our partnership in witnessing. There's power in prayer. There's power in the perspective of prayer. And there's power in the partnership of prayer. We can pray for each other to be growing spiritually. We can pray for physical needs. What does Paul say here in this passage? What does Paul say, would you pray for me about? What's it saying, verses 3 and 4? Are there some specific things that Paul says in 3 and 4 that we can pray for him? He asked them to pray for him and each other. Now, what would they be? If I gave you a quiz, take out a half sheet of paper, write down on a half sheet of paper the answer to this question. What are the specific things that we can pray for each other based on Colossians 4, 3 through 4? Could you get a couple of them? Okay. I mean, what do we see? Pray for us. Number one, pray for open doors. God, would you help Josh as he ministers this week the gospel, give him open doors. We can pray for that. Paul said, pray for me for open doors. What else did he pray for? Doors for the word, that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I am also been in prison. So the gospel wasn't necessarily easy to proclaim in that day, right? Because Paul was in prison for it. What did he need? And maybe we're just extrapolating a little bit. What did he need? Not just an open door, but give me courage. Give me courage to walk through that door. Can we pray for that for each other this week? Okay, we could. Sometimes it's the greatest news ever. And yet, you know, for different reasons, we're hindered by that. Okay. We can pray for opportunity. We can pray for courage, or we might say boldness in our witness. It says, I may speak forth the mystery of Christ, which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. What would that be on your quiz? Clarity. We don't have to be original with the gospel. All right. If you're original with the gospel, that's a little bit of a problem. Okay. All you have to do is say, this is what God said. This is who Jesus is. This is why he came. This is what he demands. This is what you must do. Okay. Just be, God, help me to be clear. And certainly it's not expressly written here, but what would we pray as well for? Make it effective, God. Bring him to Christ. Change a heart. You know, I just put that together in the little word Kobe, Kobe, with a C, not a K. C-O-B-E, Kobe. Clarity, opportunity, boldness, and effectiveness. God, help me. And Paul's not saying just help. He's not saying between him and God, help me. What's he saying here? Would you pray for me that God will do this for me and my witness? I mean, think about it. What if we were committed this week to really daily, earnestly, eagerly, attentively, all the L-Y words of verse 2, pray for each other this week in our witness for Christ, and especially in regard to the opportunity of the Christmas program or Christmas concert next Sunday? If we were together working on that, wouldn't that be awesome? Hey, that we're of one mind. Some people won't be able to come next week. Some people wish they could be here and just can't. Does that mean they can't have a part in the Christmas concert next week? Not at all. What can they do? They can pray. Does that matter? Yes. I mean, think about Epaphras. What was he doing? He wasn't even with them, and he was praying for them. And it was a powerful ministry of prayer. There's power in the partnership of prayer. We can pray for each other. Okay. And how does this help? How does our prayer for each other help? How does our prayer for each other glorify God? Because we're praying for God to be glorified in the giving and the reception of the gospel. Is God glorified in that? Sure. But what's God doing in my life as I pray for those things? He's centering my life on what really matters. Remember that Thanksgiving, that we have the greatest thing that anybody could have, and it is all about God's glory. And God's using my prayer for Michael Lamina, not only in his life, but in my life to glorify God. Because what am I tempted to do with my everyday? chase after passing pleasures. And yet my commitment keeps me focused on God. Help him to be effective in his gospel. Give him opportunity. Give him boldness. It helps to center me on that. It helps me to be clear and seize opportunities and to be bold and ask for God to be effective. So tonight, we think about these things in light of all that God's given to us in Christ. We have this treasure. We have this stewardship because of the finished work of Christ. And it's an opportunity that God's given us. So let's not miss it. Let's not come to the end of next Sunday night and say, you know what? I wish I had utilized it better. Just like all those years ago, that silly maybe illustration, but meaningful to me, that you would do something and labor and then miss an opportunity to simply flip a switch and ride instead of push a motorcycle. I wonder if we don't sometimes miss the opportunity because God says, I sit on a throne of grace and I'm willing to give grace if you'll come and ask. And we can do that together. We can encourage each other. So let me just point out just a couple things, how you can apply this. Number one, pray. Pray yourself. Pray by yourself in your prayer closet. Pray. Specifically, pray for maybe one or two people that you would love to see come and hear the gospel next week. Do you know somebody like that? Hopefully you do. If you don't, I'll give you a couple. Or take the prayer update and the prayer booklet and you'll find a whole bunch. Okay? Identify just a couple of people and say, you know what? I would love to see them come and hear the gospel next week. Okay, one, two, maybe three people. Identify someone and pray specifically for them. God can do, you know, amazing, abundantly above what we could ask or think. And God could do that. But pray personally, God, would you please work in their hearts so they'd come and hear the gospel and receive Christ as their Savior and know the great joy that I have. Number two, ask others to pray with you about those things. You know, would you just ask somebody, hey, listen, maybe on the way out tonight, hey, listen, here's a name, and maybe you got to go home tonight and think about it, and then you can email them tomorrow. Here's one or two people I'm praying for that they will receive Christ as their Savior, and this is an opportunity. I want to seize the opportunity. So would you pray for me this week to be bold as I invite them and seek to use for the gospel? That would take our fellowship up a notch, wouldn't it? I mean, how many of us are happy today for what happened this afternoon in football, right? How many of us were happy yesterday with what happened in football, and we couldn't wait to tell everybody about it when we got together, okay? And now, understand, Michigan winning is remarkable. It doesn't happen often, so it is remarkable. So we understand that, all right? Just a little dig there. That's all right. But, you know, we enjoy talking about some of those things. But how much of our conversation today in just interacting with folks was on a spiritual level of, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? How can I intercede to God for you? And maybe just you saying, hey, listen, would you pray for these two people that I'm trying to witness to and be a means of God's saving grace to, would elevate your relationship with that brother or sister in Christ in our church family to a new level. And maybe when you open that door for that, they might say to you, hey, listen, I appreciate you having me pray about that, but I've got a burden that I need to ask if you'd pray with me about. And you just open the door and make that, cultivate a spiritual relationship in our church family. So pray, ask others to pray with you and for those you're trying to reach. Pray for others. I mean, that would be awesome this week if part of your prayer was that God help these people that have talked to me to be effective in their witness, to be bold, to be courageous, to seize these opportunities. Pray for others. You know, our prayer time so often centers on, what does our prayer time center on? You know, me, right? What I need. And part of us serving each other in our body is that we would bring to God the prayer burdens of others. And I found in my life, okay, I don't know if you found this, the more I pray for others, the more it brings us together in our spiritual relationship. I'm just telling you, okay? I'm telling you. Now, you think I'm perfect, right? Yeah. I need to grow in so many areas, and one of the greatest ways that God's helped me to grow in is there are people that I just didn't like. Nobody in here, right? It's nobody in here. I just, it was like this. And I, by God's Spirit, he just said, pray. And I've prayed for them, and they have become very, very close to me. Okay? And if you'll pray for others, you put your heart out and want God's blessing and want God to use them as a means of saving grace, you know what's going to happen in that relationship in our body? It's going to make our fellowship even sweeter and tighter and more spiritual, if I can say it that way, because it's centered on the things that really matter, cultivating those relationships. I tell you, can't tell you enough, pray for others and ask for God to use them, and it will change your heart toward them. So now you'll pray for me this week. Pray for others. And then I simply say, do your part. Do your part and watch God work. Do your part and watch God work. If we would pray every day, God help us, especially this week, to seize the opportunity before us, this Christmas season, to share the hope that we have in Christ. And maybe part of that in your life is to use next Sunday night as a means to advance the gospel with those that you know and love. Okay, do your part. What's your part? Pray. What else? Speak. I went to the store yesterday and bought some envelopes that fit the invitations. And I want to send out this week at least 10 invitations. And I got to do it tomorrow because, the post office, will it get there next Saturday, Friday? Hopefully it will. I can pray for that, all right? But hey, you can ask me. Ask me anytime after tomorrow night. Did you send your invites? Okay? Because that's just one way that I can do it. I have a number of people that I know I probably won't see, but I can send them an invite. It could be that you see somebody. Go make a trip with an invitation in your hand. Say, you know what? I was just thinking about you, and this is going to be some awesome music, and we're going to have a gospel mess. I'd love for you to be my guest next Sunday night. Would you come with me? You can tell them, hey, I'll take you out for ice cream afterward. Why does so much of my life center on ice cream? I don't know. Okay, but I'll take you out for ice cream afterward. I'd just love for you to hear our music and hear this gospel message. I think it'd change your life. Maybe you'd be as courageous as that. But whatever it is, do your part. Okay, do your part. Pray, speak, give an invite, whatever you can do. And then do what? Watch God do an amazing work. It wouldn't be awesome a week after next week to just tell stories of God's grace, how God helped us to be a means of his grace to others, and that maybe there'd be more people worshiping Christ here a month or a year from now because of what God would do through our lives. It's not in us. Only God can open a heart. But God wants us to be a means of his grace to others, and we can do it together. Okay, so pray. Ask others to pray with you. Pray for others and do your part and watch God do an amazing work for his glory, for the advance of the gospel, and for our good. And we pray that in Jesus' name.